This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
From KMOX Sports.
A swing and there's a high fly ball.
This is the Graybar Sports Open Line.
That's hit to deep left field. It might go. It's a gunner.
Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
A gunner for Burleson.
Now, live from Jupiter, Florida, and the home of the Cardinals spring training, it's Matt Pauley. Sponsored by St. Louis Composting, Wilkie Window and Door, and Norm's Bargain Barn. On your voice of the St. Louis Cardinals. KMOX.
Well, after parts of 4 weeks being here in Florida, that's actually the last time you're going to hear that. This is our final show that we are doing from Florida as far as Sports Open Line goes. We'll be on tomorrow, 6 to 8, but technically that is the countdown to opening day show, myself and Mike Claiborne. And then nothing going on with us here on Friday because we're going to have Cardinal baseball. They're playing a Friday night game this week. So it is our final time to do Sports Open Line from Florida. Tom Ackerman's going to make his way down here this weekend as I make my way back to St. Louis over the final couple weeks of spring training. But we got a lot to get into. This happens every year. This happens every single year. So one of my goals is that I talk to basically every media member and do an interview with them that is here in Florida covering the team. And I have failed in my goal again. There are multiple reporters down here that I did not get onto the show this year, but I wanted to get, and we'll talk to them at other times. It's not really a big deal. It's a me thing, not a you thing. But we'll talk to some of them today. Lynn Worthy and Daniel Guerrero, among the folks who are going to be on. Also, we'll talk with somebody we do talk to fairly often, and Mike Claiborne and Bernie Miklas is going to join us coming up later on as well. It's going to be mostly Cardinals. We are going to talk a little City SC as coming up in our next segment. We're going to talk with one of the legendary Spanish language broadcasters in the sport of soccer as Sammy Sadovnik is going to join us. And he's going to be on the Spanish call for MLS season pass. We'll conduct our conversation in English, but we'll talk with Sammy coming up in just a little while, and excited to be able to talk to him and get to know him a little bit. As mentioned, just one of those legendary soccer broadcasters on the Spanish language side of things. Cardinal, it was an interesting day. It was an interesting day today in Jupiter. And we'll play some audio from Oliver Marmol at the end of this hour. We're going to play audio from Ali specifically talking about the Jordan Walker injury situation. And then at the end of the show, at the end of next hour, we're going to play some audio from Oliver Marmol speaking more about the game today. So just a couple rundowns on both those things before we go deeper on them later on in the program. But Cardinals lose today to Houston 6-5. The notable things that happened, Sonny Gray started and he got his pitch count to about 50. He finished with 49 pitches, according to the Cardinals. No StatCast data at Ballpark of the Palm Beaches. So unless you're counting along with them, we can just rely on the Cardinals to tell us. And the Cardinals told us that Gray got to 49 pitches today. that was the main thing. Like, do you look at the line and can it be concerning? I would say no, because it's his first Grapefruit League start and you should not put anything into anything that happens in somebody's first appearance in spring training. But an issue that Gray had last year that did rear its face today is giving up home runs. Sonny Gray gave up 3 home runs today. That's how all 3 of the runs scored. So 3 runs, 4 hits, 3 home runs, 3 strikeouts. But more than anything else, it was about him getting onto the mound in a Grapefruit League game for the first time. Thought the bullpen looked good, especially the guys who you're going to count on this year. Chris Roycroft, Jojo Romero was fantastic. John King looked good. A guy that I continue to be more and more intrigued by. Rodery Munoz, I thought he looked good today with a couple strikeouts. I'm wondering if he's not just going to fight his way onto this roster before all is said and done, because he's been impressive, has not given up a hit in his first 3 appearances. A couple guys who are vying for bench spots, Lucan Baker and Jose Barrero, each hit home runs for Baker. He hits his 3rd home run. His numbers he's putting up are pretty good. So that was the game portion of the day. The injury portion of the day. So yesterday, it was largely talked about that Jordan Walker came out of the game yesterday with a knee issue. He felt some pain in his knee. What happened was at the ballpark of the Palm Beaches, his cleat basically got caught into a sprinkler head, which is not great. And he felt some pain in there. A lot of people were holding their breath in a very big way, because sometimes the smallest thing can happen with the knee and it can be a big thing. It can be an ACL or an MCL or something like that. Instead, what it is it's inflammation. So they're going to shut him down from baseball activities for about a week. The bummer of that is that he was coming off a really, really good game on Sunday, swung the bat as well as he had swung all spring. But they're going to shut him down for about a week, and they think he's going to be fine. And this was about as the best possible news that you could get in this situation. So good news on Walker, only going to miss about a week of spring before he starts to ramp up once again. And we'll play some of the audio from Oliver Marmol for you, but I can tell you he was extremely happy. That's all it was, that it wasn't anything more serious, that it was simply some inflammation in the knee, and they just need to give it some time and allow that inflammation to drop down a little bit. So that's kind of those are the storylines from Jupiter and from Cardinals spring training today. I keep saying it. It's kind of a boring spring training, and that's not a bad thing. There's just not a lot going on. We've had a couple injury issues in the last few days with Zach Thompson and now Jordan Walker. But with Thompson, he's going to be shut down for a month or so, and they hope that he's going to be able to get back sooner than later. For Walker, it's just going to be a week, and he's going to be back playing spring training games before you know it. So compared with what some teams are dealing with, the Cardinals are in pretty good shape, knock on wood, as they continue to go through spring. And there'll be some other injuries that certainly pop up between now and the start of the season. Again, lots of baseball today on the show. Bernie Miklas is going to join us about 6:35. Next hour, Lynn Worthy, Daniel Guerrero, both from the Post-Dispatch and STL Today, and then Mike Claiborne as well. All those folks are going to join me to talk Cardinals baseball. We'll step away from the Cardinals for just a moment and welcome onto the show Sammy Sadovnik. He is a Spanish language broadcaster for MLS Season Pass. He's going to have the City game this weekend. He joins us in just a moment. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tocando en tres cuartos para Suárez, Messi, ¡Messi! ¡Golazo!
Well, City fans are hoping they get to hear that a time or two this upcoming weekend. So far, it hasn't happened for City. They haven't scored any goals in their first two matches. Good for them. They have not allowed any goals in their first two matches. We'll see if that changes coming up on Sunday when they are on the road against LA Galaxy. And on the call on the Spanish side of things on MLS Season Pass, legendary Spanish language soccer broadcaster Sammy Sadovnik, and he joins us right now on the program. Sammy, thanks so much for taking some time with us today. How are you?
How are you? Thank you for the invitation. It's an honor to be with you guys and with your audience.
Yeah, awesome. We appreciate that for sure. So you'll be on the call this weekend as City SC attempts to score a goal for the first time this year. As you get ready for this game and as you've taken a look at what City has done in the first two games of the year, what struck you? Why are they having a hard time scoring goals, and how good has the defense been that they're not allowing any goals against them?
Hopefully that they will score the first goal in the match day three, this Sunday night soccer with the MLS 2024 champions LA Galaxy. I think the coach is making a good team in defense, you know, with three center backs. The other day, Kessler was, for me, one of the best players on the pitch against San Diego. But they're lacking on the attacking zone. I mean, with Betcher, with Trouchard, and the second half with Celio Pompeu or Klaus, I think he prioritized the defense to have a clean sheet and not looking to score. I mean, they have only one shot on target against San Diego, and in that case, it's so difficult to win the games.
Yeah, absolutely. What do you? Because last year, City played to a bunch of ties, and they didn't score a lot of goals. People will tell you, though, it's looking different. I think there continues to be a lot of people lamenting the fact that they didn't score against Colorado, where they could have easily won that game and they could have easily scored multiple goals. Do you look at this team and see a team that are doing the right things and that the goals are eventually going to come?
I mean, it's a process. I mean, they changed the coach. The coach Melberg arrived in January. They need a time of adaptation of the roster. They came and have new players on the roster on the team. So I think it's the preseason for me doesn't count because what's a preseason games, but they balance they prioritize the defense, but they need to be more aggressive maybe. They play with five in the back and three in the middle and two number nines, two forwards, maybe to open on the bends, you know, right and left, to put the balls on the box, trying with Betcher or Klaus, whatever, who's the forward plays, the option to score a goal.
How long do you think it takes when you bring in a new coach? Because you mentioned those preseason matches, but a preseason match is not a regular season match. The intensity, everything that goes along with it is so different. When you bring in a new coach at the beginning of the season, how long do you think it generally takes for them to really have their system and what they want their team to be doing in place?
Yeah, you have to work a lot. You need training sessions to know the soccer, the football philosophy from the new coach. I don't know too much about Ole Melberg. He was in Sweden or in Europe more than here, but it takes time. I mean, he arrived just 2 months ago. They have new players. They try to make their best in order to be available for the coach. It took time. I mean, it's not bad, though, the first two games with draws. The problem is, I mean, they have a clean sheet with Berge. He's a great goalie. But the thing is to try to be more offensive, against the teams. Now you have Galaxy. I mean, is they start with two losses, and they're trying to make, different. They lost Ricky Pulch. They have injury and pain still. Jovalich went to Kansas City. So Greg Vanney also tried to restructure the team that won in December the MLS Cup.
Yeah, just to finish you off with this, speaking a little bit more about the LA Galaxy, because they have lost their first two matches. They lost to San Diego by a 2-0 score, and then they fall to Vancouver 2-1. So LA has only scored one goal so far. They've given up four goals. Have you been at all surprised by the early results from LA Galaxy?
Yeah, because the middle field is almost new. Marky Delgado went to LAFC. And Gaston Brugman to Austin, so they have to rebuild the midfield with Cerrillo. They have Lucas Sanabria, a youngster from Uruguay. Marco Royce, in my opinion, is not 100% ready. I mean, that have some issues physically. Pencil is injured. Ricky Puch, it's injured. He will be back probably in mid-July or August. And now they have only Berry and Christian Ramirez, the former Columbus Crew, forward as a nine. Fagundes is trying to make the Pencil replace Pencil. And the only player that was a champion was Gabriel Peck. And also reorganized the defense. The other day, played with Emilio Garces. He regularly is a central back. He was like a right back. And they have the CONCACAF Champions Cup. So maybe they will need to have a minute from rotate the roster for the Sunday game. But they need, they need to win, to start to win, because they are like a mini crisis of results in this first two games.
Sammy Sadovnik, he is a legendary Spanish language soccer broadcaster, part of the team over at MLS Season Pass on the Spanish side. Sammy, how much have you enjoyed being part of the team at MLS Season Pass? We tell people all the time, for soccer fans, for MLS fans, for City fans, this is a great product to be able to subscribe to and follow along with the entire league, including City SC.
I'm very excited. This is my third year. With Diego Valeris as a caller, a legendary Portland Timbers player. And we have a great team in Spanish and English, of course. We always travel with Jake, I think it was last week with you guys, and Taylor Trellman. And we enjoy because we travel every weekend and stay in the venues. It's instead of being in a studio, a cold studio with a TV monitor in front, we are in every venue. So we can feel the excitement of the people, of the fans, and this a great opportunity for us. So we invite you guys on Sunday Night Soccer on Apple TV, MLS Season Pass, 6 p.m. Eastern Time. We have an hour of pregame. So I have an hour of postgame. So let's see a good game, a Galaxy against the St. Louis this coming Sunday.
Sammy, thanks so much for taking the time. We appreciate it.
thanks for inviting me. Thank you so much.
You bet. That is Sammy Sadovnik joining us here on the show. We're going to jump right back into baseball. Bernie Miklas, the big dog, he joins us next on a Graybar Sports Open line from Florida and spring training on KMOX. Welcome back in. It's a Graybar Sports Open line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauley, coming your way from Jupiter, Florida, and Cardinals spring training. Our final two-hour Sports Open line from Florida, as I'll be coming back to St. Louis this upcoming weekend. Tomorrow, we've got the countdown to opening day show, and then Friday, Cardinals play a night game, a rare night game during Grapefruit League play. So we'll have that for you here on KMOX. It is time for our weekly conversation with Bernie Miklas. Of course, you see him and hear him on the Gas House Gang, however you take that in. Maybe you watch it live on the KMOX social media channels at 12 noon each weekday. Maybe you watch it later. Maybe you catch the podcast of it. Maybe you hear it on KMOX at night. Multiple ways for you to get connected with the Gas House Gang. Also, Bernie does his daily YouTube videos on his YouTube channel at The Bernie Show. Certainly something you need to be checking out on an everyday basis. So with that, we do welcome in Bernie Miklas. Bernie, always great to have you on the show.
Matt, always good to be with you, my friend.
So let's just kind of start very generally. What has stuck out to you about what you have seen and heard about Cardinals spring training over the last week or so?
Well, in no particular order, you got to love what Victor Scott's doing. I mean, he's showing out great, just all phases. And I think it's a continuation from what we saw late last season. And see, that's what I look for. Like, as you know, I think we're all a little wary of spring training stats, but when a young player has got something to prove and a job to win, and he established late in the previous season that he had figured some things out. And then when that carries over to spring training, I mean, that's a really good sign. I don't know what it's going to mean in terms of whether he's going to win the center field job or not, because we all know Lars Nootbaar probably is going to get a lot of time out there. But Victor Scott's doing everything he can do to make to put the Cardinals in a situation where they're going to have a very tough decision to make. The other thing that jumps out, and I'll keep it a short list. The other thing that jumps out is that just so impressed by their young pitchers. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you and I have talked about this, and you were helping me out the other day because I was looking for some clarity on the bullpen competition. But, you know, the young starters, the young relievers, I mean, guys that we think just about all of them will be helping the Cardinals at some point, and by how much, I don't know. You know, how soon, I don't know. But I think they're showing that there's no reason not to include them when you're thinking about going through 162 games. I think they can all be of some service in a good way, depending on, again, need and opportunity.
Yeah, let's touch on both those things. So we'll jump back to Victor Scott for a second. He's hitting close to 600, Bernie. He is stealing bases. He's got 4 stolen bases in spring. He's taking the extra bag when he's on base, whether it's turning a single into a double or going first to third on somebody else's hit. His routes, like, you haven't noticed him doing anything poorly out defensively in the outfield, which I think last year you noticed that he didn't get great jumps and he didn't take great routes. He made up for it a lot with his speed, but the routes weren't there. That's much improved. It is 2 weeks of spring training games, so I don't want to, you know, crown this guy an all-star and a gold glove winner and an MVP and all those sort of things, but he's doing just about everything you could ask of him to do right now.
And that's what it comes down to. You know, when a player of some real promise, it's not like he's a guy. I think everyone had their eyes open to just how good he can be, you know, based on what he did in 2023 at AA, where he just was fantastic in every area. And, you know, it's one thing if, you know, there are guys in camp, they're kind of like flash in the pan. You know, we know that they're not going to be prominent in terms of 2025 or whatever, maybe 2026. But Victor Scott, like, he has seized the moment, no doubt about it, or he's seizing it. So to your point, he's got a ways to go this spring. But he has seized the moment so far, and I think it's pretty exciting. And again, I don't know what this means for his future as far as making the team or winning a starting job. In fact, if you don't mind me asking the question, what do you think? Because you're on the ground in Jupiter. What's the buzz internally there from Cardinals people in terms of Victor Scott II?
I think he's the leader in the clubhouse for the center field job right now. And one thing that leads me to say that, Bernie, is every time we ask about the center field position specifically, that's when Ollie starts talking about, well, decisions this year are going to be made about 2025, but also how they impact 2026 and beyond. If that is a true statement, then Victor Scott's your guy, because it sets him up for the future. And I think Ollie believes that when it comes to certain other areas. But the only time we ever hear him talk about these decisions are going to be looked at from a 2026 and beyond perspective as well, it seems to be when we're talking about the center field spot.
And that's what you and I believe, talked about this on Sports Open Line last week. Or maybe, yeah, I'm pretty sure it was last week, last Wednesday. And I was saying, like, if, you know, when they're talking about a runway season, and we're all in favor of a runway season because it means, you know, extended or extensive opportunities for young players. Well, I don't think there's anyone on the roster, like in terms of competing for a job, I don't think there's anyone on the roster who represents what a runway season is supposed to be about. Because to what Ollie said, it's not just about Victor Scott. We're all concentrating strictly on 2025. But if he plays a lot in 2025 at the big league level, even if he has some slumps or downtimes or whatever, that's going to make him so much better when the Cardinals go into 2026. So I think Ollie's right if he sticks to that. I think it really is about more than the next 2 years rather than 1 year, because 2025 can do a lot to make you a better team in 2026 if the right players get opportunities in 2025, because they're going to be part of your future.
The other thing you mentioned, the young pitching, especially the relief pitch. I want to be careful how I say this, because I don't want it to sound like I was in favor of Zach Thompson being injured. Because if Zach Thompson can find who he was in his rookie year when he has sub-3 ERA, he could be an incredibly important piece of this bullpen. And I was hopeful for that to happen. But when he did get injured, I thought to myself, maybe this is going to give us the chance, whether it's a Gordon Graceffo, whether it's a Tekoa Roby, whoever, a Chris Roycroft, an expanded role for him, whoever it might be, maybe this is going to be the chance for us to see that young relief pitcher in a larger role to start the season. And I think, much like you, that excites me. I think there's a lot of really exciting young arms on this team.
Yeah, right. And if I look at it a pragmatic way, and I'm like you, it's like, no, you don't want to see anybody get injured, and especially Zach Thompson, because he's been a really hard luck pitcher. It's really a shame because he does have talent. But if you want to be practical about it, you know, it looks like Libertor is going to be in the bullpen. We know King and Romero are going to be in the bullpen. There's always been talk, like when they want to open up a space, they can move Mats to the bullpen. I mean, how many lefties can you put in the bullpen, right? And so that's not to mean Zach Thompson. But I'm agreeing with you. I mean, they may decide, you know what, let's get him on the starting pitching track down in Memphis when he's ready to start pitching again. Because I think they got more lefty relievers than they know what to do with, really, you know, especially if Mats is moved to that role.
Yeah, I would agree with that 100%. We got news today. Jordan Walker, everybody kind of got worried. He stepped on a sprinkler head in a funky way in the outfield in West Palm Beach, which is not a great way to get injured. What's going on where sprinkler heads are popping out? But the news from Oliver Marmol earlier today was that there is no structural damage whatsoever. They're going to be very careful. They're going to shut him down for about a week and then start to ramp him up again after that. You get the sense they may push him a little faster than that if this same type of injury would happen in the regular season. But, Bernie, I think the one disappointing thing about this was he was coming off that really good game on Sunday where we got kind of a glimpse of what Jordan Walker can be.
Yeah, no doubt about it, the timing. But also, just to add to your point, this is a really big year for Jordan Walker, and it's a big year for the Cardinals as it pertains to Jordan Walker. And it's not like if he has a disappointing season, you know, they're going to get rid of him. It's not that at all, but it's still a really big year for him. But the thing you want to see in spring training is just him getting as many reps, many at bats as he can. And so even if he's out for, you know, like you said, a week, if it's a week, maybe a tad longer than that, depending on how it goes, you know, those are at bats that he'll never get. And you just don't know, you know, the more reps you have, the more you start finding some stuff, maybe your confidence grows if it's a best case scenario we're talking about. What is your take on how he's looked up until this point? And I know he's hit the ball hard, but what about the strikeouts? What do you think?
Yeah, too many strikeouts. And really, I think when he's made contact, he's hit it hard. He's always hit it hard. That one game, that was fantastic. And I know he didn't have a hit, but you got to look past that. That's, he hit the ball hard. He hit the ball in the air. One of the flyouts would have been a home run in 26 major league parks. One of the lineouts was like 105, 106 off the bat. He looked great. If that's who Jordan Walker is, that's an all-star caliber bat. But Bernie, we hadn't seen that. We'd seen a lot of strikeouts. So it feels like it, both him and Nolan Gorman, it's still kind of coming in spurts. And that's the point of spring, to turn the spurts into consistency, but we haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, and there, gosh, we can't say this enough times because it's so very much true. You know, those two guys, Walker and Gorman, are so vital to the direction of the Cardinals offense in 2025. They're not the only guys, obviously, but they are huge in the big picture. Because really, the 2025 season is going to be about, again, it's never coming down to one factor, but last season, I think you can make the case, you know, solid pit. They had solid starting pitching. It wasn't great, but it was solid and certainly better than 2023. And the bullpen was, I think, you know, I've been covering Cardinals baseball since 1985. I don't think I've ever seen a better bullpen in a single season for the Cardinals than the one we did last year. And so I really think it was all on the offense. If you asked to identify, okay, what are the reasons why they did not make the playoffs or win more than 83 games? I think clearly it all rested with the offense. And so they're going to need that. And it's basically the same guys again, right? It really is. There's not like there's anyone really new into the mix, you know, because I don't think Thomas Tajaci's, you know, at least at first, is going to have much of a chance to play. And I don't know how Matt Kupraniak, you know, kind of gets through that crowd in the outfield. So these are basically all the same guys. And all right, what has to happen for them to go being a really mediocre offense to an above average offense? Because that could make the difference in maybe you win 7 or 8 more games. I don't know. I don't know how to quantify that, but we all know that if they're an above average offense, as bad as they were last year, that's a pretty big difference for the Cardinals. And it could lead to this exceeding expectations type of season that we hear John Mozeliak and others talk about.
He is Bernie Miklas, again, part of the Gas House Gang, noon on all the KMOX social media channels. Follow him on his YouTube channel, at The Bernie Show. He's going to give you at least one video every weekday doing a deep dive on a single topic. Just great, fantastic stuff that should be part of your sports viewing just habits every day. Bernie, before we get you out of here, though, if we can hear a little bit about Saliga Heating and Cooling.
I'm always pleased when you ask me to talk about Saliga. I'm so proud of them, and we've been a Saliga family for 16 years, and you know, I can testify over and over again how great they are. And if they weren't great, I'm sure by now we would have moved on to something else, but we love what they do for us, and they're an independent American Standard heating and air conditioning dealer. They've been serving St. Louisans since 1927. They're still in the same building down in South City on Gravois. Dan Saliga is the fourth owner operator of this great, the fourth generation owner operator, this great, great family business. And they can do it all for you, residential work, commercial work, all makes and models. They do a lot of things that aren't specifically about heating and cooling, but can still, like, they can improve your indoor air quality, things like that. They can put in ductless systems. They can clean your ducts, all this other stuff. Every time I say that, I want to go quack. They do all anything to do with your ducts. And also, just check out the Priority Club. It's a maintenance program that works really, really well, and a lot of benefits. And we're members of that too, the Priority Club. So, and don't forget that American Standard Heating and Air Conditioning Dealer is a St. Louis institution. If you want to find out more, especially about the Priority Club, go to SaligaHeatingAndCooling.com. The phone number, 314-481-7333. Thank you, Matt.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Back at it on a Graybar Sports Open Line here on KMOX, starting to wrap up hour number one of the program. We've got a whole lot coming up in hour number two as we are going to talk with Lynn Worthy from the Post-Dispatch, Daniel Guerrero from the Post-Dispatch, and our good friend Mike Claiborne is going to be on as well. That is all coming up in hour number two of the program. Wanted to play for you a little of what Cardinals manager Oliver Marmol said today and just kind of set the scene. This is how things went down, kind of leading to a moment that wasn't the big deal that maybe you thought it was going to be, but you were glad that it wasn't. So Oliver Marmol meets with the assembled media on an everyday basis fairly early on in the day, and then they go about their work. When he met with us early on in the day today, he did not have the imaging back yet on Jordan Walker's knee, so we set another time to meet with him, and that was after the team had arrived at the ballpark of the Palm Beaches, so media were waiting for the team to arrive. They got here, and then he brought us into his office. So just a lot of buildup to find out the details of Jordan Walker's knee and just how injured it might be after he had stepped awkwardly on a sprinkler head. And as we sat down to listen into Ollie, he gave that update, which was pretty much as good a news as you could get with there still being some type of injury there.
Great news. Structurally, everything is in a good spot. Some inflammation above the knee. We will take about a week to let that calm down and then ramp back up. So that's where we're at.
So Walker's going to sit down for a full week, no baseball activities, and you wonder about that ramp-up process as we are getting closer and closer to the start of the season. But Marmol made it very clear that he feels like Walker is still going to have the opportunity to play in many spring training games.
It is what it is. We'll let it calm down for a week, and then we'll ramp that baby back up, and we'll still have time to see him in plenty of games.
And with the injury just being inflammation and there being no structural damage, not really twisted, kind of jam, but no strain, no sprain, none of that sort of stuff, Marmol said that this is one of the best possible outcomes.
He didn't break his leg. Going to miss a few days of baseball and then ramp back up. This is really good news.
And the final thing on this discussion, this is, you know, bluntly, this is how boring spring training has been this year. Since the Nolan Arenado stuff early on in spring, it has been a boring spring. And that's not bad. That can be good. That means everybody's just kind of doing their work. You're not dealing with a lot of injuries, things like that. The last thing on this discussion, Marmol did say that Jordan Walker, when he got the news that he was going to be sat down for a week, that he took the news in stride.
He was perfectly fine. He was like what you would expect it to be. Obviously, he wants to be in there every day, but knowing that this is just some inflammation that he needs to allow to calm down and get back into it, that's obviously a positive. But no, he was fine.
That's Oliver Marmol talking a bit about the Jordan Walker injury news, and that's going to be it for hour number one of the program. Again, hour number two will feature conversations with Lynn Worthy, Daniel Guerrero, and Mike Claiborne. That's all coming up after the 7 o'clock news, which is in just a few moments. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line from Jupiter, Florida, and Cardinal Spring Training on KMOX.